Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the program where we inspire those potential business owners by giving them a glimmer of hope, saying, look, people can do this. There are people that you can talk to that have already successfully navigated the path to business ownership and are successfully contracting right now with the government. There may be various reasons why they took as long as they did, or the reasons that they did do it. Some are financial. Some are, hey, I don't want to give my money back to my prime or back to my company when I can be taking that rate myself. So we enjoy bringing in and hearing from people who have successfully navigated those waters, just like the gentleman I have here today with me. He is the president and CEO of a company called Document Managers. What do they do? Why did he start the company? I don't know. Let's ask him. Daryl, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alan. I really appreciate you having us today. So Document Managers is a company that works with large public sector entities. We work with state and local governments. We work with federal governments to help our customers have what I call a one-on-one relationship between their constituents, the public, and themselves. How do our customers deal with what we call eligibility and enrollment? You know, who's supposed to get stuff and what stuff are they supposed to get? So we often have our customers often have a challenge of receiving millions and millions of pieces of what we call unstructured data, right? Mm-hmm. That unstructured data could be an email, it could be a phone call, it could be a letter where people go to our customers and say, hey, this is who we are and this is what we're supposed to get. And in state and local governments, it could be everything from a driver's license to energy assistance to any form of participation that the state and local government has with its constituents. And what we do as a company is to create single access points to allow the public to have a one-on-one relationship with the agency that they're trying to get those services from.
Was this a vision that you had? Is it? Did you see it as a lacking area within the marketplace where you said, you know what, I can fill this gap with this. I have this brilliant idea.
So I will tell you, I'm really never smart enough to have a vision. So that's not what happens. We have what I call a constant iterative conversation with our customers, right? And that constant iterative conversation drives our solutions. Right. And so I worked for Xerox for 12 years and I was in the hardware business and I started out as a hardware reseller. And my customer said, all right, Daryl, these things are connected and they sit on the network. Right. So now I need you to help me convert some of my paper into an electronic format. So then we got into the scanning business, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And the customer says, okay, now that this is an electronic format, I need to be able to search this information. Then we went out and found best in breed document management solutions. We are a FileNet reseller. We are a reseller for a solution called OnBase, which is created by a company called Highland. So these are all enterprise content management solutions because the customers recognize that once they receive this information in an electronic format, that they needed to be able to search for it. Then they said, now that we can find it, Daryl, we need to make business decisions with it, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So then we started getting into data-driven analytics, right? We started connecting that information to enterprise solutions. They could be Oracle ERP platforms, right? There could be SAP ERP platforms. But we've kind of gone down this path because our customer, during this iterative conversation, has told us the direction that we need to go in.
I actually had this very conversation with one of our teammates on a contract that we have right now up at the fort, discussing how do we push the envelope? How do we present ideas to the customer to show that we're always looking forward, always trying to come up with the next best thing. Right. Sounds like this is a conversation you're constantly having.
Right.
And it's something that, as a contractor, those of you listening, thinking about opening a business, one of those conversations that you might want to start initiating if you're not doing already with your customer. Not only does that show the customer that you're engaged, but it shows the customer that, you know what, this is somebody that I could probably trust.
And so there's a book I read by a guy named Eric Ries, and it's called The Lean Startup. And in The Lean Startup, he talks about building a minimum viable product, an MVP. And so as a small business, what we really need to do is to be able to build what we call MVPs, minimum viable products, and then test them in the marketplace and to determine whether we're going to have high adoption. And when you have an adoption level, then the customer will tell you, well, I need it to do this, I don't need it to do that. Mm-hmm. And then you start developing your product as you go along with your customer. So what we don't want to use is an old manufacturing model where you spend a significant amount of time building something and you've never had a conversation with the customer, and then you introduce it into the marketplace and expect that there should be some adoption when you've never had an agile conversation with the customer throughout the development process.
I want to take a step back for a second and discuss the reasons you started this company today, Document Managers. Right. By the way, we're speaking with Daryl Wiggins. He's the president and CEO of Document Managers, born and raised here in the area. Right. What was it, D.C. General Hospital? We won't give out the year.
You can say the year 1961. No, I was born at D.C. General Hospital.
It wasn't me. I didn't say it. I'm not gonna give out the year. But you worked for Xerox. You at some point had this, I can do this better on my own, kind of epiphany.
Right.
What was that epiphany, and what was the catalyst that made you jump off that ledge?
This is going to sound very, very interesting, but the catalyst for me going into business for myself was in 1995, the Million Man March. Right, and that sounds real weird. But the reason that I chose that is
you
that
you needed to make copies or something.
No. The what happened is I was with my best friend at the Million Man March, and so he said to me, "If you're not an employer, right, then you simply are engaged in an intellectual." And I'm not going. And he said that you have to be able to employ people if you're going to make any kind of significant inroads into, you know, our economy and to be able to support people in our communities. Right. And so I recognized that I was trained by a great organization. Xerox is a great organization, and that I could take that intellectual property with me. Right. And to call on the same customer I was calling on in the government space. And if I applied the same principles every single day and I executed those principles every single day, that it's simply impossible not to be successful. Right. So, you know, what I find is that, you know, people go into business for the wrong reasons, right? And one of the reasons that people go into business is because they want to be their own boss. Mm-hmm. And what I tell folks is that if you go into business because you want to be your own boss and set your own hours, that you won't be successful. When you go into business, you have one boss, and that boss is your customer. And they hire and fire you without any notice by simply going to your competitor. So if you're not going into business to determine how you can become an employer, how you can build wealth for your community, or how you can build wealth for your family, then you're not going into business for the right reason.
That's a mindset that I hear that rings true with everyone that I've spoken to that has done this very thing. You can't go into business for yourself because you want to be the boss.
Right.
If you're opening up that business and it's just you initially, you've got to prove yourself to a customer and then overly prove yourself to that customer to make it so that you become an embedded part of their society and they need you more than you are wanting them, so to speak. Otherwise, you're number one, you're going to be working forever.
You're
never going to grow. And you'll end up out on the street now looking for a job because you've blown all of your capital.
Right. Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why 95% of small businesses don't last past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so one of the things that we want to evolve to is to be seen as what I call a trusted advisor. So what does it mean for your partner who happens to be your customer to see you as a trusted advisor? And then they start opening a kimono and saying, all right, I have this business problem. I have this business problem. How do you solve it from a consultative perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you simply apply the right people and the right technology to provide a solution? Right. And so those are the things that you really want to get to. And it's having this iterative conversation with your customer that builds a relationship that makes the customer see you as a trusted advisor. And that's where we need to go. And sometimes when you're in big corporations and you got this one specific box that you have to sell, you're limited in terms of the ability of being seen as a trusted advisor.
Do you find it difficult to attain that trusted advisor status with some customers are well, hard-headed,
right,
for lack of a better term. Right. How do you get around that? What do you use without coming off arrogant? How do you go about overcoming that challenge?
So the conversation has to be twofold when you're talking to a customer. You have to understand what their enterprise needs, and then you have to understand what they need, mm-hmm. right? So when you have the conversation with the customer and you understand the vision of the enterprise by asking that customer, who's your customer? And how do you use information to deliver value to your customer? And then the person that you're talking to, where do you sit in that value chain? And so if you start that conversation that way and people start telling you, okay, this is what we're doing in the enterprise, this is our customer, and this is where I as an individual sit in that value chain, and you start mapping that, right? And you start mapping your value to that, then the person will see you as a trusted advisor.
Going back to when you initially started the company, what kept you up at night back then as you're grinding away trying to make this happen? What were the things you were
thinking
of? Survival.
Survival. When you make a choice, right, to leave the stability of corporate America and go out on your own, and you have a very young child to feed and you've made that choice, then there are no excuses, right? And, you know, I'll often tell people the story of Christopher Columbus. They talk about coming to the New World, and I don't know if this actually happened, but it's a story that they use, and they say that after sailors got to this new land, the captain of the ship said, he took his two trusted advisors, and he said, I want you to go out to the ships, and I want you to burn those ships, and then come back. And so his two trusted sailors went out and they burned those two ships. And then all of the other men were in horror. And so the captain said that the land is before you and the sea is behind you. Which will you choose? Right. So what we have to recognize that in business, you got to burn your ships behind you. Right. And if you're not prepared to lean in and to be all in, then you're not going to be successful.
True or not. That's a good story. That's a good story. You know, this coming from a man who, well, kind of lied to get money to come here, but that's a story for another show. My guest is Daryl Wiggins. He's the president and CEO of a company called Document Managers. How can people find you?
We are on the web at www.documentmanagers.us. We have an office in Washington, D.C. at 510 Florida Avenue Northwest. We also have an office in Silver Spring, Maryland at 8757 Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring as well.
Kind of talking about the journey that he took to start the company and the successes that he's having. We're talking about a multi-million dollar company at this point. Did you ever imagine it being this big? You've got how many employees?
70. So what I did imagine is that if I executed some basic principles that my grandfather taught me, always have your shoes shine and always show up on time. And if I executed those principles every single day in a linear fashion, and I did it every single day, that success is just a fatal canto plea, right? That you're going to be successful.
They look good. I'm looking at the shoes.
Always
right now.
Have your shoes shine and always be on time.
Very good. Very good. Words to live by for sure. Now you're going through this journey. You've started the company. You're worried about survival, feeding yourself, feeding your family. At some point you got that first contract.
Right.
And was there a moment of relief? How did you feel?
That's
elation?
That's an interesting story. So, you know, there are so many resources in this area because we're in the nation's capital that are free to us that we have to avail ourselves of, that as small business people, we don't have to pay for things that we think we have to pay for. So I went to the Small Business Development Center at Howard University. I was a Howard University graduate, and I asked them to help me put together my application for 8A status as a federal government contractor.
I'm glad you said that because I want to get into that. But go ahead. I'll
and
come
so,
back to that.
And engaging the Small Business Development Center in the School of Business at Howard, I had a small business counselor who helped me find what we call these micro lending institutions, right? And so when I got my first deal, I didn't have terms with my reseller, so I was selling an HP printer, and I was selling it to DC government, and I didn't have terms, and the printer cost $10,000, right? And so what Howard did was to introduce me to a micro lender who gave me the $10,000 for me to sell the printer to DC government, and and 17 years later, I haven't had a job since.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Taking advantage of the resources that are available to you. Right. And they're available to anybody out there in
they're
the
free
area.
Resources, and there's SCORE. There are all kinds of small business development centers that are in different universities that are available to us that we need to avail ourselves of, and we just need to make sure that we have access to that information.
I like how you say you haven't had a job since. Oh, you haven't had to work really. Had a job since because you love what you do.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. 8A status. Talking about some of the certifications that you're or the socioeconomic certifications that your company has. You applied for 8A right off the bat.
Right.
There are some companies that wait. What made you think about doing it right off the bat?
I went to Small Business Development Center, and they explained to me that what 8A would do in terms of helping contracting officers get to us. Uh-huh. We had past performance and expertise that I used for my time at Xerox. So, you know, one of the qualifying requirements for being an 8A participant is that you have to have 2 years of business experience before you can apply. But you can apply for a waiver if you can demonstrate some level of subject matter expertise in that industry. Mm-hmm. So I was able to apply for a waiver. It got us our first big contract at the United States Patent and Trade Office. It was a 5-year contract managing the public search process, which was a multi-million-dollar, multi-year contract.
You start hiring people at some point after you get this. You're going to have to because you can't do all the work yourself.
Right.
Was the management of personnel, and I know you've had experience with this in the past, but was the management of personnel any different than you thought it would be? Now you got a bunch of personalities jumping into your pot.
It was a challenge for me. It was a huge challenge for me because when I started hiring people, I did what all small business people is you hire the people that are closest to you.
Right.
And I hired family members, which created a very dysfunctional environment, to be frank with you, because you got cousins and family members everywhere who don't necessarily have an issue with execution. They got an issue with accountability. Right. So what I did was to remove myself from that. And I hired a COO, right? Somebody who came from outside of the organization, Janelle Merritt, who had 17 years of experience at a Fortune 50 company. She came from Canon. And the first job was to get all my family out of there.
Are the wolf, just to take Pulp Fiction terms. Right. You are here to clean up.
Right. So to develop some level of accountability.
Right.
Right. And to kind of separate me from the daily management from a personnel perspective.
You got to tell me. I know they came back to you like, what is going on? How difficult was that? You changed your numbers?
Oh, I got all kinds
you
of
move,
stories.
You...
No, I got all kinds of stories about that. I have one friend of mine. I won't say his name. I'm the godfather for his children. We went to school together. We met in 1979 at Howard, and he worked for me. And when Janelle took over as his manager, we had a meeting one day, and he told her, I got to make a run. He was like, I can't come to the meeting. I got to make a run. And when he came back, he didn't have a job. So he was just like, I got to make a run. So that was a problem.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Also on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. My guest is Daryl Wiggins. He's the president, CEO, the guy in charge of everything over at Document Managers. Also, you can find them under DigiDoc as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's our legal name. We trade as Document Managers. Our legal name is DigiDoc.
Gotcha. So talk about some of the team. You're always up for teaming, I'm sure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's your philosophy towards business development?
All right. So initially, my first maybe 10 years into the business, I wanted to prime everything. And what I realized very quickly was that when you're dealing large enterprise deals, is that a small company does not present what I call a risk mitigation strategy to a large enterprise, right?
Right.
And the only way that you can play in the enterprise space is you need to prime with large SIs. You need to prime with Deloitte, with Oracle, with Microsoft. And so what we've done is to take our past performance that we built on our own, mm-hmm. right, going out and priming, and our channels that we provide for the large firms being MBE certified in different states. And there we are a hugely strong partner because some people lead with the fact that they're an MBE, right? Which means that they don't have the quals that are necessary to be a strong partner for Microsoft or an Oracle. We lead with the fact that we have subject matter expertise. We have technical people who are employed with us. And then we have strong quals and execution where we've primed large enterprise SA projects. So then it's a natural fit.
And then you throw in the added caveat, oh, by the way.
By the way, we MBE. We don't lead with that.
No. Why would you? You know, you want to get somebody who's going to take value in you, not your qualifications that you bring.
Right.
Because that's work you're never going to get. Let's face it.
Exactly.
You're going to be on the team and you're never going to get
anything. You're hitting it right on the head as you get diluted out of the deal.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so we have so many interesting stories where we have been subcontractors with primes where we executed so well, the prime realized that since they weren't in the state, that they could reduce their operating costs by increasing our presence. Right. And we ended up doing maintenance like if it was a software solution and it required annual maintenance, we'd end up having our people do the maintenance because it's cheaper for us to do it than for them to have somebody come.
And it's a win-win for everybody.
Right.
You're getting paid and the prime's still getting paid.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter who's doing the work. Everybody's winning at that point.
Right.
You have a slew of awards, accomplishments, and such. I just want to talk about a couple of them. We mentioned MBE, 100 top MBE firms in the state of Maryland, 2010.
Right.
Top 45 most prestigious alumni, Howard University School of Business. That had to feel good, being an alumni.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely felt good.
Notice he puffed his chest out a little bit as he said, yeah,
so
I got that one.
I always say that, the only greater thing that ever happened to me in my life was my son being born. But my decision to choose Howard University, right, is the greatest decision I ever made in my life. It is a family that I still have today. I left Howard University in 1983, and I can still go see Dean Harvey today, and he say, Daryl, how you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing, right? That relationship and that commitment to the graduates is amazing. It's where I get my employees from, right? When I need to get good talent, I go to Howard University. Janelle, who's the COO, graduated from Howard as well, right? So it's been a wonderful experience for me since 1979 being part of the Howard family.
My cousin is a graduate of Howard University. Played football there.
Okay.
In the early 80s.
Okay.
So ended up blowing up his knee on the offense. But hey, that's a whole nother story. another good one. Cardoza Senior High School Certificate of Appreciation. You got to tell me about that one.
Right. So in 1990, I started a 501c3 called POWER. And the acronym stands for Professionals Organized with Educational Resources. And I started that 501c3 because I read Kwanzaa Kanjufu's book, The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. And in the book, he talks about the peer group versus the parental group, right? And he talked about how when boys get to the fourth grade, then the peer group takes precedent over the parental group. And we wanted to restructure what their peer group looked like. So what I did was just get a whole bunch of guys I knew from Xerox. And we went to Ballou Senior High School, and the principal then there was Mr. Washington back in the 90s, and we built a mentor program. It then ended up going to Brightwood Elementary School. It went to Cardozo, and we worked all throughout the city with this mentor program called POWER because we wanted to change their paradigm and change the way they saw the world.
Very good. You still a philanthropic individual, still going out and doing stuff like that? Are you still coaching?
No, I was a basketball coach for St. Augustine.
Okay.
When I was going was there. So what we're trying to do is to have an economic impact, right, in terms of how we change the way people look at the world. I teach a class in entrepreneurship at my church at Zion, where Keith Battle is the pastor. And we have had some wonderful success stories there in terms of helping people understand the difference between income and wealth. Right. And so in our community, right, we value income and don't understand that it is what I call performance based. Right. And it's the reason why our athletes are millionaires until they've been out of the game for 5 years. And then they're a cautionary tale. Right. Because we got to teach the difference between income and wealth. And you and I talked about it earlier today. our equity position in the building that we bought in 2006 in Shaw, right? Mm-hmm. When it was totally abandoned. And now developers are coming to us asking us to be part of a development, which now becomes equity, which goes that which the company owns, which allows us to build the next generation.
Got to tell you, the neighborhood you're in is beautiful, and it's only going to get prettier. Right. Don't stand your ground. Stand your ground. Like they say in Florida, stand your ground.
Right.
Don't go anywhere. His name is Daryl Wiggins. He is the president, CEO of Document Managers, a multi-million-dollar company that does?
We provide document management, professional services, information services to state and local governments. What we do in a nutshell is we allow our customers to put the right information in front of the right person at the right time. Right. And how does that information allow them to execute decisions?
I realize that we just met, right. But there's an air about people that open up their own companies and start doing this on their own. Everybody seems to be happy and content,
right.
But always striving for more.
And I would tell you what makes me the happiest is that we have created an entity that allows us to be impactful in the business arena and in the community. Right. So we're able to identify those individuals who have talent at a young age. Right. And to bring them up in the business and to raise them in the business. So it becomes generational. And so I talked to you about Janelle, my COO. I didn't talk to you about her daughter, Miranda, who's the reason why I'm here today. Right.
Right.
So Miranda was the one who connected with you to get to start this interview process. What I didn't tell you is that she has been with us since she was 13 years old.
What?
She's about to go to college now, and she has offers from colleges all around the country, right, for scholarships. She's in a baccalaureate program in Virginia in one of the best high schools in the country. And we hope someday that she'll take over the mantles of Document Managers and send me a check.
Uh-oh. How can people reach you?
Once again, Document Managers, our phone number is 202-299-1011. We have offices at 510 Florida Avenue Northwest, and we're at 8757 Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Thank you so much for being a part of the program. I truly appreciate you coming in.
All right.
Daryl Wiggins is his name, President, CEO of Document Managers. You can find him under DigiDoc as well. This has been yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, heard exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. You know, we're teaming as well. Columbia Technology Partners is a systems integration, systems engineering, security company doing a lot of work up at Fort Meade, and we're always looking for trusted partners. We're going to talk after this, by the way, because I think we might be able to work something out.
Absolutely.
You can reach me anytime at 410-290-3280. Columbia Technology Partners. Thanks again. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you, Alan.